سورة النور آية نمبر 19. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ Indeed those who like that immorality, vulgarity should be spread or publicized among those who have believed will have a painful punishment in this world and the hereafter. And Allah knows and you do not know. The moral conduct of Muslims should be what? That nothing of the sort is ever publicized. Sexual relations between people should never be publicized. How do we publicize these things? By talking about them? By emailing people, texting people? How else is fahisha, vulgarity, publicized in the Muslim community? Allah says, for them will be adhabun aleem, lahum adhabun aleem. So we need to know. Are we involved in anything like that? Subhanallah, how about the news? How about photographs? How about magazines, websites, fahisha, pornography, all of that? Subhanallah. Allah says, those people who want to spread this and make this common amongst the believers, for them is a continuously painful punishment, fit dunya wal akhirah, in this dunya as well as akhirah. Wallahu ya'lamu, and Allah knows, wa antum la ta'lamun, and you do not know. Look at the channels in Muslim countries. Subhanallah. Look at what they are showing in their TV programs, in their soap operas, in their news. Look at the magazines. Look at the billboards. The Muslim society should not be like this. It is different if someone is living in a non-Muslim society. We don't have control over that. However, we do have control of what comes into our homes, of what we see with our eyes, what we listen to with our ears, and what we talk about with our tongues. We have absolute control over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not put yourself in a situation where you are participant in such activities and also one who spreads these activities, invites people to those things, talks about those things so people become interested and they want to see those movies, the soap operas and so on and so forth. Subhanallah, Allah says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah again says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. And if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, what would have happened? We would have been faced with punishment all the time. May Allah have mercy upon us. And truly, Allah covers our faults. Allah says, and because Allah is kind and merciful, Allah knows our weaknesses. These are problems that we have in society, yet we don't want to speak about them. Fahisha is a huge problem in society, and it is spreading even more and more. Allah put a stop to it at the time of the Sahaba. We need to learn from them. We are all human beings, and they were human beings as well. But when they acted inappropriately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to set them straight. The Quran is still with us here today. How is it that we read the Quran, we recite the Quran, we praise and send peace and blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do not follow their conduct? We are praying salah all the time, we are fasting, we are giving zakah, we are going to hajj. But how come fahashi and vulgarity has not left our homes? It is played on our televisions, in our movies, in the books, on the internet. We talk about it all the time, as if it was just simply gossip. It was so easy, Allah says, on your tongue. You received it with your tongue. Allah says, don't even speak about it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. O you who have believed, do not follow the footsteps of Satan, and whoever follows the footsteps of Satan, indeed, he enjoins fahisha, immorality, and wrongdoing, munkar. Allah says, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Munkar also incorporates fahisha, but Allah always highlights it out, because we tend to ignore it. We think it is nothing. In the eyes of Allah, it is a great thing. Vulgarity is a great thing. It is not a symbol of a Muslim society. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته. Fourth time Allah says that if it was not the fadl of Allah upon all of you and His mercy, ما زكى منكم من أحد عبدا, none of you would be purified ever. ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء, but it is Allah who purifies whom He wills. والله سميع عليم, Allah is hearing and He is knowledgeable. He knows what's going on. He knows how people think. He knows how people operate. Allah says, it is Allah who keeps us pure. Allah keeps our thoughts pure. Allah keeps our eyes pure so that our heart and soul is pure. Allah has been stern in these ayahs. And He has also shown that He is wise, that He is forgiving and merciful and very kind, and He understands the way we think. But sometimes, again, we do not shed light on these topics and these subjects. We see people dating openly, Muslims dating openly, and we don't say anything about it. We think it's perfectly fine. SubhanAllah, we see all kinds of things happening around us. And nobody steps up, not even the ulama. No one says anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has trained us in these ayat what a Muslim society should really be like. And remember what He said in the beginning of this surah. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha. This is a surah that we have revealed. It is already important because Allah has revealed it, but then He has made it fard upon us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to even greater, higher morals. Allah says, and let not those of virtue among you and wealth swear not to give aid to their relatives and the needy and the emigrants for the cause of Allah. Mistah bin Uthasa, remember, the son of Mistah, who was one of those people who was passing on these rumors. These rumors were actually started by Abdullah bin Ubay, who was the leader of the hypocrites. But Mistah radiallahu anhu, who was also a participant in Badr, also forwarded these rumors. This is why his mother was angry with him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of the future and past sins of the ones who participated in Badr. We know that. So we learn that people of great piety can also make mistakes. Now the issue here was that Mistah radiallahu anhu and his mother were being taken care of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He had been providing for them for a very long time. But when he found out that Mistah was involved in perpetrating these rumors against his daughter, then he became angry, and his natural reaction was that he said that I am not going to support them anymore. And these were poor relatives of his. So what does Allah say? Allah wants Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be of even nobler character than that. So He said, and let not those of virtue among you and wealth swear not to give aid to their relatives and the needy and the emigrants, the muhajireen, for the cause of Allah, and let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? One question. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Who amongst us, you and I, would not like that Allah should forgive us? Allah wants us to mirror that with each other. If we are tolerant towards each other and we pardon and overlook, then Allah will overlook the greatest of our faults. He forgives the smallest ones anyway. Every day He washes them away. And this is a difficult thing to do. To forgive someone who has actually harmed you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at once said what? Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey, and he continued to support his cousins. Allahu Akbar. This is why he was Abu Bakr Siddiq. He would always confirm the Quran. He would always confirm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What high, what noble character. We can do this. You and I, we can do this. We have differences amongst ourselves all the time. We can pardon and overlook, even if you have done good to someone. Remember, Allah says, repel evil with good. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Indeed, those who falsely accuse chaste, unaware, and believing women are cursed in this world and the hereafter. The la'ana of Allah is upon them. In this world, nothing will go right for them. And in the hereafter, worse things will happen. Allah says, and they will have a great punishment. On a day when their tongues, their hands, and their feet will bear witness against them as to what they used to do. Be very careful when you are talking about someone else's daughter. Allah says, that day, Allah will pay them in full their true recompense, and they will know that it is Allah who is the manifest truth, who al-haqqul mubeen. Evil words are for evil men, and evil men are subjected to evil words. And good words are for good men, and good men are the object of good words. Those good people are declared innocent of what they, the slanderers, say. For them is forgiveness and noble provision. Tayyibat, Allah says, وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. The pure men are for pure women. So it can be words or it can be human beings. Allah says, good people are for each other, and evil people are for each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah declares that Aisha radiallahu anha is innocent. She is innocent of what the slanders say. Allah says, for them is forgiveness and noble provision. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who have believed. The rest of the surah also continues with the proper etiquette, especially the kind of etiquette that is going to prevent this kind of event from occurring. Inappropriate behavior from occurring. Allah says, O you who have believed, do not enter houses other than your own houses until you ascertain welcome and greet their inhabitants. That is best for you. Perhaps you will be reminded. And if you do not find anyone therein, do not enter them until permission has been given to you. And if it is said to you, go back, then go back. It is purer for you. Allah says, Huwa azka lakum, wallahu bima ta'maluna alim. Allah is knowing of what you do. This is important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is this important? Because this is important for us in order to prevent inappropriate behavior and also prevent people from invading others' privacy. According to the sunnah, a Muslim is supposed to ask to enter permission 3 times. If they are given permission, they should enter. They should also stand at the side of the door so they do not inadvertently peek inside. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that a person in their home has a right to take out the eye of anyone who peeks into their home while passing by or otherwise. Allah says, there is no blame upon you for entering houses not inhabited in which there is convenience for you, meaning places of business and so on and so forth. And Allah knows what you reveal and what you conceal. Tell the believing men to reduce some of their vision, meaning lower their gaze, some of their gaze, not all the gaze, but some of the gaze. Which one? The ones that are going to put them in fitna and trial. Allah says, tell the believing men. This is an order to men to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts, meaning from being seen and also from unlawful acts. Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. This is better for them, purer for them. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what they do. And subhanAllah, when we look around us, we at home sit down and on our televisions are watching things that are inappropriate. Allah also tells women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and tell the believing women to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts. Ali radiallahu anha asked about looking at something that is inappropriate or looking at a beautiful woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first glance is forgiven. That means do not look a second time. And here we are, sitting and staring at people. And nowadays, pornography has just skyrocketed. SubhanAllah, may Allah save us from that. Ameen. People are unable to have proper relationships with their spouses because all they can do is watch pornography. They have become addicted to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us wisdom in the Quran. All of these things are good for us. And here we are, we make fun of these ayat. How can we? Only hypocrites and the kuffar would make fun of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone wants to look down when they're talking to a woman, we make fun of them. They are trying to purify their soul. They're trying to stop a fitna from occurring. They are actually following an ayah of the Quran, which on the Day of Judgment is going to come as a witness in their favor. Who are you and I to make fun of such people? How can we? We need to have utmost respect for such people. Allah says again, tell the believing men to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts. And that is purer for them. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what they do, because whatever we look at, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, is confirmed by the private parts. And tell the believing women also to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts. And then another injunction comes upon the women, and not display their adornment, their zina, except that which ordinarily appears thereof. So this ayah is about covering the head. The women, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslim women would not cover their head. Some of them would follow the Christian women in the fact that they would put a khimar over their head, but the ends of it were thrown behind their back. So the front part of their body was simply covered by their clothes. They would wear a long loose tunic like a kurta and a skirt underneath that would be just above their ankles. Some of their elbows and the forearms would be showing. Many of the women did not cover their hair. When this ayah came, we know that Aisha radhiyallahu anha reports that the women started covering their heads. And then Allah also says to draw their head covers over their chest. So they are wearing these head covers. The word Allah uses is bi khumurihinna. Khumur is from khimar. Khimar is also a word that is used for alcohol, something that covers your head. It intoxicates you. Khimar is a word in Arabic that is used for a dupatta or a scarf that is placed over your head in particular, because another piece of cloth that is tied around the waist is named something else. It's called a mirt. And then a big chadar, a big blanket that is worn on top of everything else, is called a jilbab in Arabic, or a chadar in some languages. The first ayah about covering for women, it was actually revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab, and that came first. In that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply orders the believing women to wear their jilbab, their outer blankets or chadars, whenever they go out in public, so that they would be known as believing women and men would not harm them, they would not tease them, and they would not be subjected to catcalls and so on. Those ayat were revealed first. So at home and otherwise, the women would continue to dress the way they were dressing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat in Surat Nur, in which they were ordered to cover their heads and also to bring that scarf, the khimar, in front of their body, meaning their chest. So Allah uses the word bikhumurihinna ala juyubihinna, to cover their head covering, to bring the head coverings over in front of the lapels of it, the ends of it, over their necks and their chest. And then Allah says, and not display their adornment, zina. Zina in the Quran has been used for the stars. Zina has been used for things that are beautiful, that are decorated, which means that anything that has to do with jewelry, makeup, embellished clothing, so on and so forth, Allah says not to display their adornment, things by which you adorn yourself, except to their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husbands' sons, their brothers' sons, their sisters' sons, their women, that which their right hands possess, meaning slaves, or those male attendants having no physical desire, or children who are not yet aware of the private aspects of women. Allah says, and let them not stamp their feet to make known what they conceal of their adornment. What is concealed in feet of adornment? Anklets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls jewelry as zina. Allah says, and turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers, that you may succeed. So what do we have to repent from? From not lowering our gaze, from not protecting our private parts, from not covering and wearing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to wear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, it is not lawful for a woman, once she has reached puberty, that any part of her body should be seen, except her face and her hands. There's a difference of opinion in the naqab. Some scholars say that the naqab is compulsory, and others say that it is not compulsory. So there is some room there. However, all scholars are unanimous, and it is so clear in the Quran that a woman's face and hands are the only things that should be exposed. Aisha radiallahu anha said that aside from that, she can wear some kohl, some minimal makeup on her face, and some jewelry like rings or bracelets that can be seen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated, Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha. This is a surah that He has revealed and He has made it obligatory, and in it are ayatim bayinat, very clear evidences for everything. The summary of the dress of a woman is such. The clothing should be loose, her head should be covered, no part of her body should be visible except her face at the minimal and her hands. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it should not define her body, the bones should not show, and it should be thick, not transparent. It should not be the dress of men, and it should also not be the dress of unbelievers. And finally, women cannot wear perfume that others can smell outside of their body. You can wear something inside that is not redolent, you're not reeking of perfume, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared such a woman to a prostitute. May Allah forgive us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says in the next ayah, and marry the unmarried among you and the righteous among your male slaves and female slaves. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty, and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. But let them who find not the means for marriage abstain from sexual relations until Allah enriches them from His bounty. And those who seek a contract for eventual emancipation from the slaves, from among whom your right hands possess, then make a contract with them if you know there is within them goodness, meaning give them a chance to earn their freedom. It is incumbent upon us. Allah says, and give them from the wealth of Allah which He has given you. Help them to buy their freedom, Allah says. And do not compel your slave girls to prostitution if they desire chastity, to seek thereby the temporary interests of worldly life. Some of the Arabs would use their slave women for prostitution just to earn money. So Allah says, do not do that. And if someone should compel them, then indeed Allah is to them, to those poor girls, after their compulsion, forgiving and merciful. This is how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the young people should get married, but if they do not have the means to marry, then they should protect themselves by fasting. Allah says, and we have certainly sent down to you distinct verses, ayatim mubayyinatin, Allah says again, and examples from those who passed on before, and an admonition for those who fear Allah. Allah says all of these are important to those who truly fear Allah. Wa mu'izatan lil muttaqin. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is a light of the heavens and the earth. The example of His light is like a niche within which is a lamp. So niche is like a mihrab. It is a niche in a wall, an inset in the wall. Allah says, and in that, placed in it, imagine, is a lamp. The lamp is within glass. So this lamp is lighted up and it is surrounded by glass like a lantern. The glass as if it were a pearly white star. It was a star lit from the oil of a blessed olive tree. So the glass that surrounds this lamp, the lamp is the fire that's burning, and the glass that surrounds it is itself very bright, like a prism. It's like a star. Allah says, now that lamp is lit from a blessed olive tree. So this oil that lights up this lamp is from a blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west. Allah says it doesn't belong to any certain place in the world, whose oil would almost glow even if untouched by fire. So the oil itself is luminous. It seems as if it itself is lit up. It is so shining. Noorun ala noor, light upon light. Allah guides to His light whom He wills. And Allah presents examples for the people. And Allah is knowing of all things. What a beautiful example. Let's try to understand it, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that His light is like that. You have a niche, you have a lamp in a niche. That niche is a chest of a believer. The lamp is Iman. And the glass in which the lamp is, the glass is the heart of the believer. The heart of the believer is clear. It is not covered with dust or grime of sins. It is pure and clean and shining bright. That kind of heart, when Iman comes inside it, it lights a fire. And it magnifies the light. Noorun ala noor. But where is this Iman coming from? It's coming from that oil which itself is luminous. That oil is knowledge. Knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the Sunnah. It is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the noor. This noor is magnified. The noor from the oil, noor from the source, which increases the Iman. So the light is increased and then it is magnified by this pure heart. So sometimes you see people and they remind you of Allah. They have noor emanating from them. It's not a physical noor, but you feel their piety and cleanliness and purity, and they are shining torches for humanity. Noorun ala noor, Allah guides to His noor whomever He wills. May Allah make us of those. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says such niches are in houses, meaning masajid, which Allah has ordered to be raised, and that His name be mentioned, praised therein. So where do you find the light of Allah? In masajid. Allah says, exalting Him within them in the mornings and evenings. So the term used here is to either afternoon or evening, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered all the time. Allah says, within these homes, exalting Him morning and evening are men whom neither commerce nor sale distracts from the remembrance of Allah. They're always present for jamaat. Allah says, and performance of prayer, nothing distracts them from the remembrance of Allah and performance of prayer and giving zakah. They fear a day in which the hearts and eyes will fearfully turn about, that Allah may reward them according to the best of what they did and increase them from His bounty. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without account. The masajid of Allah. When people frequent the masajid of Allah, the angels become their friends. And when they are absent one day, the angels say to each other, where is such and such person? We don't see him today. Subhanallah. Allah says, but the disbelievers, their deeds are like a mirage in a low land, which a thirsty one thinks is water, until when he comes to it, he finds it is nothing, but finds Allah before him. And He will pay him in full his due, and Allah is swift in account. So one who is a disbeliever, when they do good deeds, it is nothing. They think that further down the road, they will be all right. They will find the water. But they find nothing. Instead, they find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they are like darknesses within an unfathomable sea, which is covered by waves, a deep sea, upon which are waves, over which are clouds. Darknesses, some of them upon others. When one puts out his hand therein, he can hardly see it. And he to whom Allah has not granted light, for him there is no light. This is the opposite of the ayah of Noor. Allah says, disbelievers are in multiple darknesses. They cannot even see the good deeds they have done. They stretch out their hand and it is not even visible. Allah says, do you not see that Allah is exalted by whomever is within the heavens and the earth, and by the birds with wings spread in flight? Each of them has known its means of prayer and exalting Him, and Allah is knowing of what they do. Notice the birds at the time of Fajr and at the time of Maghrib. In urban areas, you will often see them lined up at intersections. They stand in rows on the electrical wires. Subhanallah. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah is the destination. Do you not see that Allah drives clouds? Then He brings them together. Then He makes them into a mass. and you see the rain emerge from within it. And he sends down from the sky mountains of clouds, within which is hail, and he strikes with it whom he wills, and averts it from whom he wills. The flash of its lightning almost takes away the eyesight. Allah alternates the night and the day. Indeed, in that is a lesson for those who have vision. Allah has created every living creature from water, and of them are those that move on their bellies, and of them are those that walk on two legs, and of them are those that walk on four. Allah creates what He wills. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ Allah says a third time, we have certainly sent down distinct verses, and Allah guides whom He wills to a straight path. But they, the hypocrites, say, we have believed in Allah and in the Messenger, and we obey. Then a party of them turns away after that, and those are not believers. So people who listen to the ayat of Allah, they say that we believe in the Quran, but they do not actually follow the Quran. Allah says those are not believers. And when they are called to the words of Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, use these ayat to make your decisions. At once a party of them turns aside in refusal. But if the right is theirs, they come to Him in prompt obedience. Meaning if they know that the ayat are going to favor their own opinions and their situation, then they come running to the Prophet ﷺ. They come running to the Quran. Subhanallah. أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ Is there a disease in their hearts? Or have they doubted? Or do they fear that Allah will be unjust to them or His Messenger, that something will be revealed about them? Or that their commandment of Allah, that the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expounded in the Quran would not be good for them? Allah says, rather, it is they who are the wrongdoers. The only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, Sam'ana wa atana. We hear and we obey. The believers use the ayat of the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make the decisions, make whatever decisions are in their lives. Allah says, and those are the successful. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ And fears Allah, وَيَتَّقْهِ And is conscious of Him, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ It is those who are the attainers. And they swear by Allah their strongest oaths that if you ordered them, they would go forth in Allah's cause. They swear, Allah says, say, do not swear. Such obedience is known. The hypocrite's pretense of obedience, Allah says, is known to be a lie. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with that which you do. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. These last few ayahs reiterate over and over from 47 onwards. Amanna billahi wa bil rasul. Say that. Believe in them and obey them. There is no belief without obedience. So Allah says again, say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, both of them. But if you turn away, then upon him is only that duty with which he has been charged, and upon you is that with which you have been charged, meaning to follow. And if you obey him, you will be rightly guided. And there is not upon the Messenger except the responsibility for clear notification. It is imperative to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without which Allah says right here, we will not be guided. Allah has promised those who have believed among you and done righteous deeds that He will surely grant them succession to authority upon the earth, just as He granted it to those before them. Allah says, the result of righteous deeds, the result of obedience, is that people, the Muslims, believers, are given authority in this dunya as well. They are given power in this world. Because this is a sunnah of Allah. He has done that many times before. Allah says, and that He will surely establish for them therein their religion, which He has preferred for them. Allah will establish Islam through us, inshallah, and that He will surely substitute for them, after their fear, security. For they worship Me, Allah says, not associating anything with Me. But whoever disbelieves after that, then those are the defiantly disobedient. And establish prayer Allah commands, and give zakah, and obey the messenger Allah commands. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that you may receive mercy. If we don't follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we cannot receive mercy. Following the sunnah, remember, is equal to implementing the Qur'an. Never think that the disbelievers are causing failure to Allah upon the earth. Their refuge will be the fire, and how wretched is the destination. O you who have believed, let those whom your right hands possess and those who have not yet reached puberty among you ask permission of you before entering at three times, before the dawn prayer, and when you put aside your clothing for rest at noon, and after the night prayer. These are three times of privacy for you. There is no blame upon you, nor upon them beyond these periods, for they habitually circulate among you, some of you among others. Thus does Allah make clear to you the verses, and Allah is knowing and wise. Allah guides us as to how we should behave in our homes. Allah says, even within homes, you need to have some privacy from each other. Allah says, and when the children among you reach puberty, let them ask permission at all times, as those before them have done. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses, and Allah is knowing and wise. Why does Allah say that? Because the children, after they have reached puberty, they have sexual changes, they have hormones which they need to deal with. If they see something that their eyes should not see, Subhanallah, it is going to affect them. And it also starts this discourse, this thought process of fahisha, vulgarity. So all of these injunctions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us all of these injunctions so that we have private times where we feel comfortable within ourselves, within our rooms. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants us to avoid all kinds of trial and fitna, so that again fahisha, vulgarity is not spread even within the home. There is a protocol to follow. Allah says, and women of post-menstrual age who have no desire for marriage, there is no blame upon them for putting aside their outer garments, meaning what? The jilbab. Okay, the ones that people wear when you go outside the home, like a jacket or a chadar or an abaya. Allah says, if you go outside, there is no blame upon them for putting aside their outer garments, but not displaying adornment. But to modestly refrain from that, meaning to keep their jilbabs on, is better for them. And Allah is hearing and knowing. There is not upon the blind any guilt, nor upon the lame any guilt, nor upon the ill any guilt, nor upon yourselves. If you eat from your own houses, or the houses of your fathers, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, or the houses of your sisters, or the houses of your father's brothers, or the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, or the houses of your mother's sisters, or from houses whose keys you possess, or from the house of your friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you can feel easy in certain places. The reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many injunctions to be careful when entering each other's homes and regarding the privacy of each other, giving people space, and that the Sahaba became very conscious that they did not want to impose on anyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells them that these are the areas where you can relax. Allah says, there is no blame upon you whether you eat together or separately. But when you enter houses, give greetings of salam, of peace. So when we enter the home, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was to enter with the right foot and say assalamu alaikum to the people who are there. If none of the family members are present, say salam to the angels. Assalamu alaikum ala ibadallahi salihin. Allah has ordered this in the Quran, such an easy and beautiful thing to do, and then the Quran will become a hujjah in our favor, inshallah. Allah says, a greeting from Allah, blessed and good. Allah praises the word salam. Thus does Allah make clear to you the verses that you may understand. Again, Allah says about His ayat that they are very, very clear. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and when they are meeting with him for a matter of common interest, do not depart until they have asked his permission. Indeed, those who ask your permission, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those are the ones who believe in Allah and his messenger. The protocol, the etiquette of being around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that nobody would leave without permission. Sometimes the hypocrites would quietly slink away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a believer is only the one who would seek permission. Allah says, so when they ask your permission, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for something of their affairs, then give permission to whom you will, from whom you will among them, and ask forgiveness for them from Allah. Why ask forgiveness for them? Because they are going to lose the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some time. They will lose the opportunity to learn from him for some time. Umar radiallahu anhu was concerned about that. He used to share a business with his friend, and they would divide the time of business and learning amongst themselves. So when the partner was taking care of the business, Umar radiallahu anhu was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam learning deen. Then they would switch and would teach each other the religion that they had learned. But there were certain things he had not heard, certain ahadith he had not heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he blamed himself for that. Allah says, do not make your calling of the messenger among yourselves as a call of one of you to another. Do not call him with a common name. Do not speak to him in a voice the way you call each other. Do not talk to him even in a voice like that. Allah forbids it. Already Allah knows those of you who slip away, concealed by others. So let those beware who dissent from his, meaning the Prophet's order, lest fitna strike them or a painful punishment. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. Already he knows that upon which you stand, and knows the day when they will be returned to him, and he will inform them of what they have done, and Allah is knowing of all things. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Surah An-Nur. Inshallah, the first 19 or 20 ayat of Surah Al-Furqan will be completed with juz number 19. May Allah expand for us our light, and may He truly make us understand His ayat and implement them and follow and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.